From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, August 10th. I'm Abby Larico. A North St. Louis restaurant is bringing a unique perspective to the local culinary scene, offering menu options made from commissary items typically provided in prisons.
My slogan is, you ain't gotta go to jail, come to Stevie's. I did it for ex-convicts. The food represents where we came from and where not to go.
We'll go to Stevie's Kitchen, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Police have found the infant who was the subject of an overnight Amber Alert, and they say he was never missing. According to an update this morning from the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, the initial report of a car stolen with a one-year-old boy inside was false. The child was never in the car, and the car didn't even belong to the woman who reported it stolen. Officers say the story unraveled when the man driving the car, who was described as the suspect, received the Amber Alert and contacted police. The woman who made the claims was taken into custody, and police are now investigating what they're calling a hoax report. A Southeast Missouri community is demanding answers after ICE agents detained several people at a rodeo in Sykeston this weekend. STLPR's Brian Munoz reports.
Sykeston police say ICE detained at least four people at the 74th annual Sykeston J.C. Bootheel Rodeo after they tried to get a wristband to buy beer. Police say the detainees presented identification that needed additional verification. Jerry Lee Summers is a local nurse and longtime friend of Ricardo Montez, one of the people taken by ICE.
He is the type of man, just the type of person, that would give the shirt off of his back to someone in need.
The Sykeston Police Department and Scott County Sheriff's Office defended ICE's actions and said the detentions were not part of a random effort to target Hispanic residents, a claim refuted by one rodeo worker who tells St. Louis Public Radio they didn't have an issue after scanning Montez's ID. I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri health officials say 1,577 people in the state have now tested positive for cyclosporiasis. New numbers show confirmed cases of the intestinal illness jumped 44% from the previous week. The CDC says Missouri and Illinois are among 15 states linked to a nationwide outbreak involving contaminated iceberg lettuce. Illinois has reported nearly 1,000 cases. The illness is usually not fatal, but Michigan officials say two people have died after becoming sick. Both had underlying health conditions that may have been worsened by the illness and dehydration. High levels of E. coli are contaminating Missouri's Big River in St. Francis County. STLPR's Kate Grumke reports a failing wastewater treatment plant is to blame.
The Leadwood, Missouri wastewater treatment plant is leaking human waste into the Big River. The Missouri Department of Natural Resources is working with the city to try to fix the problem. The department recorded the highest possible level of E. coli in the Big River near Leadwood. Department officials say people, pets, and livestock should stay out of the water between Leadwood and Owl Creek Park. The wastewater plant has been experiencing significant operational issues since July. Numerous public complaints brought the Department of Natural Resources to the city to investigate. DNR is also testing for other contaminants. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
The STL Recovers Office faces multiple challenges in getting its repair program for tornado-damaged homes up and running, which is causing frustration for those waiting. So far, just 34 of the 200 homes prioritized for repair have been completed. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, some residents say the long wait for home repairs is burdensome and costly.
Stacy Nash has been trying to repair her tornado-stricken home on her own, but she says it's becoming too costly. She's desperate for help through the city's private property assistance program. Recovery officials say things are slow because they're having trouble relocating people to complete their repairs, and they need more moving companies. Nash says she hopes the program speeds up so it can help with repair costs.
I just don't feel that help is coming no time sooner. So it's going to be up to me to find other ways to complete my home, because I still feel the city is not moving towards giving me any kind of help.
Residents who have applied for the program are still eligible for repairs, but officials say no timeline has been set. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
In sports, the University of Missouri has won its first national championship in football. That is according to the U.S. Senate. Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt introduced a resolution that the Senate subsequently unanimously passed, recognizing Mizzou as the 1960 college football national champions. The 1960 team finished the season 11-0 after its loss against Kansas was reversed because the Jayhawks used an ineligible player. Four other universities already claimed the 1960 national championship. That's from an era, remember, without playoffs or a centralized rating system. Mizzou, though, has never recognized the title, so it's yet to be seen if the school will use the Senate's resolution to retroactively call itself a national champion. After 7 years, racing is back at the St. Clair County Fairgrounds. Even after being delayed one day because of rain, the Belle Claire Speedway's promoter says reopening night was a success, and he's expecting the dirt track will have 15 to 18 days of racing next year. STLPR's Will Bauer has more.
Promoter Chris Blair says Belle Claire Speedway will have a full schedule announced very soon. After last week's sold-out opening night, he says multiple national tour groups, like the World of Outlaws, have reached out.
It was a high mark. It was an excellent opening night for a first-time facility, and the fans really appreciated what we did, and we were thrilled with both the attendance and the quality of the show.
The longtime Metro East track shut down after COVID and was demolished. St. Clair County spent nearly $14 million to rebuild it. Blair says it's very rare for dirt tracks to come back after being closed, and the reopening is a testament to the community's love for racing. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
You've heard of restaurants where all the ingredients reflect a certain culinary or cultural tradition, or are sourced from local farms and purveyors. How about a menu featuring special recipes made using commissary items typically found in prisons? St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Windley visited Stevie's Kitchen to learn more about how owner Steve Gilliam cultivated creativity behind bars and made his culinary dreams a reality.
If you're anything like me, food is a love language. So when I learned about a local restaurant that was selling jail-inspired food, I had to check it out.
So right now I do the jail pizzas, the jail nachos, the fed burrito wraps, and the fed rice, which I have some right now I want you to try.
That's Stephen Gilliam. He's the owner of Stevie's Kitchen, or Stevie's Jailhouse Kitchen, in North St. Louis. I tasted a sample of his fed fried rice with steak, and I can't lie, it was pretty good. I had my eye on the hot Cheeto cheeseburger, but Stevie says it's out of stock at the moment. What makes these dishes unique beyond their jail-themed names is the fact that they're actually made using commissary items from organizations like the Keefe Group, which sells a range of self-care products and food to correctional institutions.
These brands is only in jail. That cheese rice, that's only, you can only get that at the federal penitentiary. You can't get this on the streets. So that's why people travel the world, come see me.
Stevie says he's dreamt of becoming an entrepreneur since he was 8 years old, but a life of poverty ultimately led him down a path of crime. He spent 8 years behind bars for various drug and gun charges and was released from the Leavenworth Federal Prison in 2019. While in custody, he used commissary items to turn the prison's bland food into creative meals, like nachos and noodle bowls, that he'd sell to other inmates. And that's where the idea for Stevie's Jailhouse Kitchen was born.
My slogan is, you ain't gotta go to jail, come to Stevie's. I did it for ex-convicts. Like, it's just a slang. People don't really wanna go to jail, but we understand that a three-second decision turned into 40 years to life in jail. The food represents where we came from and where not to go.
He says people who do time can easily become used to the conditions inside. Food sold at his jailhouse kitchen provides a sense of familiarity and maybe even comfort for those readjusting to society.
That's why people come from Denver, Delaware, drive from New Jersey, drive from Pennsylvania and all that, because they want to get that same taste again too.
Kids eat for free when they're accompanied by their parent or guardian, which is a part of Stevie's efforts to give back to the community. He was presented with a You've Got the Juice Award last month from a group called Mission Attempt, which recognizes hometown heroes or those making a difference in their community. Tiana McGall Ward is a co-executive director at the nonprofit.
I think of Stevie as a grandma without the measuring cup. I'm proud of him.
Magal Ward, along with St. Louis County Council Chair Rita Hurd-Days and Mevy Mead, the campaign director for Protect Majority Rural Missouri, visited Stevie's restaurant last week to talk to patrons about ballot proposals. It was Days and Mead's first time at Stevie's Kitchen, which happened to be on Soul Food Sundays. Mead took her first bite.
Catfish is so good.
She says she wasn't sure what to expect, but that it didn't disappoint.
The perfect crispy outside and melty inside. I'm not supposed to talk with my mouth full.
It was also Taisha Burgess's first time at Stevie's Kitchen. She patiently waited for her order, which came with a side of greens, yams, and macaroni.
He was on TikTok last night making this big pot of greens, and he showed his meatloaf and his oxtails.
Although Stevie's Kitchen is known for its jail-inspired food, Stevie says soul food options were added in an effort to expand the menu. But for Stevie, it's more than just a restaurant, it's a ministry.
Really, my message is about perseverance, never give up. That's the biggest one I can say, and having faith. Faith is an action that involves attitude.
He also has a message for the younger generations.
And I just want the youth to understand that you don't have to go to jail off these psychotic thoughts, and you can just really put your mind to it and do something.
I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Now Rebecca Thiel edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. The music's by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.